JM in the AM. Well, whenever there's a difficult situation, especially involving our brothers and sisters in Israel, we get a tremendous degree of comfort when we check in with our dear friend Rabbi Shlomo Katz, who, of course, is in Efrat, Israel. But knowing his background, he certainly, I'm sure, is very familiar with the way that American Jewry reacts to the current situation. And he's with us live via telephone. Reb Shlomo, shalom, shalom. Welcome back to JM in the AM.
Hi, Nachum. Good morning to you. Good afternoon to all your fans here in Eretz Yisrael.
I appreciate that. Well, it's been a while since we've spoken, and we can't go through all the details of the last month, but we can certainly say, and I know this from firsthand experience from a couple of weeks ago when I was there, and please God, I'll be back next week. As much as people here in the United States and other areas of the diaspora know how painful the situation is in Israel, and I think you'd have to admit, I'm curious about your impression about the reaction of American Jewry, etc. The truth is, we really can't relate fully to what's happening in Israel. The shivas, the announcements of the IDF killings, fallen soldiers that were so dear to us. I mean, the funeral, of course, of Rose Lubin that took place today. A lot of people from the United States were there who knew her. And, of course, thousands that were asked to gather in her memory came to Har Herzl. It's just a different atmosphere in Israel. How are you, because I'm sure plenty of other people are asking you from around the world, how are you summing up the mood, the atmosphere, the avira in the Holy Land?
Well, I'm very thankful for your intro, the way you just said it, because it's true that although it is impossible to convey it in words, we're all mishpacha, so I'll do my best to just share with mishpacha right now how part of the mishpacha is doing. We're going from, and this may sound crazy, but the whole world's on fire right now, so whatever.
Yeah.
We're going from funeral to funeral, from shiva to shiva, from hospital to hospital. It's true, and from bomb shelter to bomb shelter. And we've never been more broken, and we've never been healthier either. I know that seems like a complete, like, you know, in the Gemara, stira mine ube, like a self-contradiction, but it is exactly that. There is a brokenness that never existed before, ever. And we haven't begun to process it. And at the same time, everything that Rav Kook or any of the Gedolim have ever spoken about when it comes to Nishmat Yisrael, the soul of Am Yisrael, it is all emanating right now in a very, 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 very powerful way.
And that's because of the determination, I assume, right? That's because of the Netzach Yisrael that everybody, no matter what their religious background, is feeling at this time.
Without a doubt. Do you know how many Chayalim that I've stopped by on the roads? I can't tell anymore who's holding where anymore. I don't have any idea what people's backgrounds are. I have no idea, because first of all, it really is true that almost everyone here is wearing tzitzis. There was a whole article, and there was a whole news item yesterday on Arutz Shtaim, on the 12, Channel 12, that said that the hottest item, the hottest item in demand in the market right now in Israel is tzitzis.
My God. Who would ever have thought? I'm just curious, and I'm saying this literally in a news fashion, not, God forbid, in a critical fashion. Is it driving the media a little crazy? Like, are they having trouble understanding it and processing it? Because we know what the majority of them and their attitude toward Jewish ritual, are they adjusting to all this well?
I took upon myself to trick question. Sorry. Next question.
My gosh, I hope what I'm gleaning from that reaction is not true. I would hope that even those who are not necessarily the biggest fans of Jewish ritual understand what's going on here. But you want to know something, Shlomo? I'll tell you something, that, you know, a thought that comes into my mind at times like this. people don't realize it, and only because I grew up in the house that I grew up in. I mean, my father was born in 1917, and he was in Palestine from 1919 on, you know, off and on between Palestine, eventually Israel, and the United States. So, you know, you only get this perspective when you speak to someone from that generation, you know, way, way back, who was familiar with what was going on in Eretz Israel at that time. The deep divide in Israel, you know, in terms of religious observance was so vast. I mean, I don't even want to mention on the air what the attitude of certain secular kibbutzim was and what actions they took to demonstrate their hatred for Jewish ritual. It is insane that when a soldier misses a day of tefillin, all those soldiers around him, in order to be mashlim with him, all put on tefillin the next day to make him feel a little bit better that unfortunately he did not have the time the prior day or the tefillin at hand the prior day to put on tefillin. That's unprecedented, in my opinion, in recent Israeli history. Am I right?
Without a doubt. And to just complete that picture, it's also unprecedented that many Hasidim, are finding their way also towards groups of people that they probably would never consider part of Machane Israel either. I'll give you a great example. I'm sure you saw this. There was one of the Chayalot, one of the female soldiers who was released from captivity. She wasn't released. She was freed.
Right.
Ori Megiddish, right? Rescued. And she lived in a town called Kiryat Gat. The night that when the word came out that she was freed, hundreds of Hasidim grabbed all the men that they could on the streets and danced Am Yisrael Chai on loudspeakers throughout the streets of Kiryat Gat. You know, Nachum, there's so many moments that my wife and I have turned to ourselves, look at each other after witnessing these things. We turn to each other in tears and then look up to Shemayim and say, Ribono Shelolam, what else could be needed in order to say Zeh Mashiach? Like what more? What more could be needed? There's so many of these moments right now, every day.
Yeah, that's, by the way, that's it. It used to be this was exceptional behavior. Now you're inundated with videos and news items about this constantly, every single day. I mean,
every day.
The tzitzis example is obviously, you know, primary among them. I mean, when you say to me it's the most sought after item in the entire country, yeah. I mean, imagine what that is. Yeah. And if I would have said to you 6 weeks ago, I mean, honestly, if I would have said, and you're very familiar with the Israeli scene, and you're in the Gush, and you know soldiers, and you know people that serve, you know, in groups, half of which are, you know, more dati, and half of which have no background. If I would have said to you 6 weeks ago that this would happen, I don't think you would have, you know.
I'd say it could happen like Mashiach could happen,
right,
on that level, but not like something that I see tangible, like I see something else that's tangible, but. You're correct, and it's happening daily, Nachum. It's happening daily.
It's unbelievable. Shlomo Katz with us from Israel. So I find myself, look, I'm a father, I'm a grandfather. I know it's hard to believe, but Baruch Hashem. I find myself just waking up certain mornings, not every day, but certain mornings just so upset about the whole hostage situation. And I know for a fact, because I've spoken to some of them, there are mothers in Israel who cannot sleep just thinking about the babies. Forget about everyone else for a moment. Just the babies and who's caring for them and the situation that they're in. I have to assume that this is one of the prevailing feelings that people are walking around with. You spoke about hospitals, refugees, obviously the funerals and shivas have to be attended. The hostage situation of all of them must be the one that weighs so much on the minds and hearts of people in Israel.
Without a shadow of doubt, and I want to say two things about that. One is that I'm on my way pretty soon to Hebron. Why? There's no Shabbos Chayesa. Well, there's always Shabbos Chayesara, but yeah. Shabbos Chayesara Hebron is not happening this year per the request of the security forces and the army.
Yeah, Yishai's joining us an hour from now.
Oh, so right. So I'll be down there with Yishai at a very, very important event with Rav Shmuel Eliyahu and a few other big rabbanim, as well as families of the chatufim, families of hostages. That's one thing it hasn't come across yet. It's just one thing that personally I haven't come in contact yet, as far as I can remember, which is also very limited because memory, time, everything seems is a blur. And I know that this is the nekuda in the pnimiut of the ke'ev today. Yeah. And the deeper place of the pain is that. That's one. And that's a very real thing, and that's in our faces. And it is something that, to show you how crazy this situation is, even in the Mishaberach that we're now saying in Shul for the return of the hostages, we had to change one word in there because the tefillah that we're saying is based on Rabbi Goren's tefillah that he put together I'm not sure if it was 73 or 82, I don't remember, probably 82, where there was hostages that were taken in Lebanon or in Syria. Right. And the tefillah is v'yachzeru mehera le'artzam. They should come back to their land. We can't say that word le'artzam because they're kidnapped in artzam, in their land. They're kidnapped in Eretz Yisrael, which leads me to the second thing I wanted to say, which is that on a spiritual level right now, what could I, the simple yid that's not running any type of military program right now, what could I? I'm not with the security forces. I'm not in the government. I'm not working on those lines. What could I do? And I said this in shul this last Shabbos. I have to be able to see what tunnel, like where our brothers and sisters are being kept underground, and I want them to so badly to be out of there. I have to see what tunnel have I dug myself into with all my theories and all the concepts that I realize don't work and are not going to work in our day today. And one of the big ones is, in my humble opinion, is that Eretz Yisrael and all of it is ours. Every inch, every centimeter. And the second that I start to play around with that simple notion of truth, I'm endangering everyone's life. There's a big, big awakening over here right now.
Eretz Hashlema.
There's a big awakening. Eretz Hashlema. There's a big awakening going on right now. We all know that there never has and there never will be an actual nation called Palestine. Palestinian. There's no such... It's a hamtza'a, it's an invention that unfortunately... Many Yidden have also bought into already. It doesn't exist, but I have to get out of that tunnel. I have to get out of that mindset because it's pashut. It's bringing upon Am Yisrael tzaris al gavei tzaris. And that's what I'm personally working on, whatever level that means for me.
Very powerful. Very powerful. Reb Shlomo Katz is with us. He's in Efrat. Now, as I said earlier in the introduction, you're obviously very familiar with how American Jewry reacts to situations like this. Not that we've ever had a situation exactly like this, but you know what I mean. And you're probably aware of what's been going on in your hometown. And I'm not looking to you for an Aliyah speech. I'm seriously not. We'll have enough of that next week because our studio in Israel is in the Nefesh B'Nefesh headquarters. So I'm sure we'll have a chance to do that next week. But you have to be aware of what's going on in L.A., and you have to be aware of the killing, the murder of Mr. Kessler, who was there at one of the protests. And you have to be aware of the situation here. I'm sure people in the U.S. and every city that you're in touch with tell you about the discomfort, thank God, that we are going through. What are your, aside from the Aliyah message, what are your impressions of what's going on here?
First of all, my heart and soul is much more worried and concerned about diaspora Jewry than it is about the Yidden in Eretz Yisrael, honestly. Yeah. I woke up this morning and my friends in Los Angeles had sent me the footage that took place right outside my old high school, which is adjacent to the Simon Wiesenthal Center Museum of Tolerance. Right. I went to EULA when I was in high school. It's right there on the corner of Pico, right there in front of me. I saw footage that... a month ago, I would never imagine that would be in our time. And I saw what I saw. I can't, it's hard for me to digest this. But Mania said, it's not an Aliyah speech. It's more just saying, this is what it looked like in 1933 in Germany. This is what these are visions. This is what we saw in front of us. En malasot, we could have all the excuses in the world. This is what we saw. We saw this already. This is not new to us. We saw this. And if there was ever a time to say, maybe it's time to come home. I know I would have rather liked to come home just besimcha and dancing and without any agony.
Yeah.
Could it be, Nachum? Could it be that we're actually at the place
Yeah.
that we say thank you, but gigiazman.
Yeah, I've said to you, I wish that I'll be able to move to Israel during a time that is not out of fear, but obviously that ship has sailed. Now anybody who goes, the impression is going to be, whether it's true or not, that it's literally out of fear that we're going there. You know, you live in a very, and you lead a very interesting community, because there are communities in Israel, frankly, where there are many Israelis, or the majority of people, or all of them are Israelis with their roots in Israel, and they don't have relatives in the diaspora. And there are a lot of communities, obviously, like that in Israel. I would have to assume that your synagogue, every single person, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, has relatives in the diaspora. I have to assume that. So for you in your leadership role and listening to people, I assume, who are fearful, who are afraid for their relatives, forget about their friends. You could put them in the category also, but at least the relatives in the diaspora, it must be a very interesting experience. Everybody basically in your neighborhood is going through that together.
While they're also going through an incredible, incredible, difficult situation that half of their children are right now in Gaza.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. The combination of of everything here on an emotional level is basically really going inward and saying, could it be that really this is mamash, everything we've ever dreamed for, the moment before Geula? What am I doing the moment before Geula? What am
Yeah.
I doing?
You know,
What am I doing?
when I was in Israel, we went to the Shalom Hotel, so the entire city of Nineveh is there, and about 1,000 people. And what was noteworthy, you will not find a male from 18 to 35 in the hotel. There's a million kids there. You will not find one person who is male 18 to 35. I mean, you just alluded to it. I mean, what's your neighborhood like? I assume every shul's attendance is way down, and unfortunately, you know, there are families waiting for husbands and fathers and synagogues and communities that are, you know, wondering when the 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 seats are going to be filled again.
Right. So I guess in our show, it's a little bit different because there are many yeshivas and students that are in desperate need for a lot of like love and fire and passion. And Baruch Hashem, they know they could find that by us. So this past Shabbos was probably the largest attendance we ever had. Probably
Wow.
five.
That's
Yeah, we had
great.
the Gush came to us. Part of
Wow.
HaKotel came to us, and a few seminaries were here. So it was a little bit different by us, but there are neighborhoods here, there are shuls here that definitely exactly what you said. The attendance is it's very different because there are so many people that a month ago, in the middle of Simchas Torah, got into a car and said goodbye to their family, and have been protecting Am Yisrael since that day. It's biblical times. We're mommy, biblical feelings here.
And then I get a call from someone yesterday that they haven't heard from a relative in Gaza for days. And that is, you know, and thank God now they've heard from them. So, you know, obviously there's a sigh of relief, but that's the reality. There are times when days at a time, a soldier, depending on the sensitive situation they're in, cannot be in touch with anybody. So
Correct.
their parents are going to sleep every night, and their spouse is going to sleep every night, you know, God forbid, thinking the worst. I can't even. I mean, look, again, we're doing a good job on this side of the world. You know, I'm we're doing everything to get everybody to Washington. You know how important that is. By the way, kudos. I don't know which school it is, but there's a school from LA that's flying their senior class into the Washington rally Tuesday. So,
Oh, beautiful.
yeah, there's a lot of good stuff going on here. But Well, what's happening where you are is, you know, obviously on the front lines and very, very serious. And I just hope, and this is the reason we're going, I just hope we can convey to people in the diaspora, you know, the anguish, the difficulty, the uncertainty, the fearfulness that so many are going through in Israel right now. And as you said before, you know, we haven't even talked about the red alerts and how disruptive that is to the kids and to the adults. And that's happening all over the place. And it just goes on and on.
Yeah.
What can I tell you, Reb Shlomo? Am Yisrael Chai, Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker. Right? Have you composed any songs recently where something came to you about the eternity of the Jewish people, the destiny of the Jewish people?
Actually, yes. And maybe more on that a little bit later, but absolutely so.
And look what music is doing for the soldiers, for the families. I mean, someone said to me the other day, I think it was Yeshiva Flatbush, was in the Inbal Hotel. There were 100 families there, you know, displaced refugees. They did a kumzitz for them. It made a massive difference. It did, you know, it had such an effect.
Everywhere. There's more music taking place right now on a daily basis throughout Eretz Yisrael than ever before. Because every day you probably have between 150 and 200 of these types of gatherings everywhere throughout the country. I'm just one person. I'm looking all across the board. Our dear friend Yehuda Solomon that just made Aliyah.
Yes, I thought of this. The last one to make Aliyah before
the last one.
Right.
And he was wondering, and maybe he was wondering, you know, will I be busy or not? He hasn't stopped one night.
And boy,
every night.
And boy, and I'm sure you'll tell me it's because of the Moshav where he grew up. But boy, does he know how to relate to the soldiers. I mean, his stuff pierces their heart. He's so amazing.
And it's piercing his right back.
Yeah.
You know, 100%. That's what we're all feeling. It's a boomerang effect on all of us. And I just want everyone to be part of it. And it's happening here. So, Chevra.
Yeah.
There's zero judgment. There's only love. Mamash, there's only love. And there's so much love in the air right now. There's so much painful love. And it's happening. It's happening. Hashem should protect all of us. All of us to be able to be the best Kiddush Hashem in the world.
Amen. Shlomo, thank you. Stay well, my friend.
I'll see you next week.
Bezrat Hashem. And what a way to reunite with your words of inspiration. Todah Rabah. Thanks again.
Thank you for the schut.
The one and only Reb Shlomo Katz, everybody. It's a Thursday. It's JM in the AM. Shlomo Katz. Oh, was it a delight having him on from Israel. Yishai Fleischer coming up.